Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
you know, expressions of ministrations and the Spirit. And, you know, yesterday I was telling the folks that were with me that, oh, have I missed all the, you know, music guests, you know, mistress or, you know, soundings. I saw two on the flyers and I didn't meet anyone. Also, I've been here since Friday night. And I believe it's because of me that God sent Iniolua, praise God. So, and I was really blessed by that ministration. You are not just a singer, you are a prophetic psalmist. And you're not only that, you are a minister. You know, one could feel the flow and the ministration of the Spirit. And I pray heaven will preserve you and keep that fountain pure. Praise God. Today, God has spoken so much to us about the glory and riches of his kingdom. And I want to veer off a little bit, praise God. Not entirely, because law of faith. You know, faith is an outflow of grace. You know, the scripture says, by grace are ye saved through faith. So when we talk about grace, let's want to say grace. Grace is like the raw material of heaven. Everything of God could be derived from grace, including faith. Faith itself is one of the, so to say, properties of the riches of his kingdom. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit just told me this morning, he wants to resolve some critical and fundamental confusion and mixed up. And I believe God wants to set us all on course. And you know, it's the truth that sets us on course. And one thing is that the kind of the, how do you put it, truth, there's a thin line between truth and error. Once we violate, every truth has got its own boundaries. Once we violate the boundaries of truth, we delve into error. And so that's the reason why we need the focus and the discipline of the Spirit as we begin to handle the truth of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm not going to go high here. I'm going to say make it beast. Maybe at some point we'll take it a little bit, you know, up. But I just want to make it really basic to bring clarity and understanding to a whole lot of stuff. Praise God. When we talk about faith, one of the things we need to realize is I'm not going to give us any serious definition. I often define faith as, do I still remember? Faith is the is our trust in God's integrity to perform his word. Isn't that sensible? Very simple. Praise God. It's my trust, it's our trust in God's integrity to fulfill his word. You know, God has got ability, a lot of it, enormous, limitless ability. But what, much more, what defines God is his integrity. Not just his ability to perform his word, but his integrity to bring it to pass. That's very basic. If we take it a little bit higher, then we say faith is our conviction of the unseen realities of God. The realms of God is the realm of the intangible. Isn't that so? The realm of the Spirit. The ability to connect to the realm of the Spirit and enforce the will of God is faith. Praise God. So one of the basic things we need to understand regarding faith is what faith is in. What faith is not. There's been a whole lot of confusion. That a lot of mixed up. A lot of misconception regarding faith. Now, one of the things that faith is not is that faith is not the same as hot feelings. Faith is not the same as what? Hot feelings. Faith is not conquire. You know, for those of you who don't speak Yoruba, it's not light, strong head. I'm just stubborn to have my way and get something done. It's not the same as strong will. That's not the realm of faith. Praise God. That's not the realm of faith. Faith is not a state of desperation. I want something. I want something. I want it at all costs. I want it by all means. That's not what faith is. Praise God. Neither is faith consenting to a matter. That's not what faith is. Faith is not consenting to a matter. It's not agreeing to a standpoint. That's not what faith is. Faith is not based on presumption. There's a whole lot of that in the church. Faith isn't based on presumption. It's not an assumption that this is what God wants. That's not what faith is based on. Praise God. Faith is not like, okay, maybe God wants to do it, maybe God doesn't want to do it. You know what I mean by that? Faith is not based on presumption. Instead, faith operates by my conviction in the will of God. Faith operates by my conviction in the will of God, that I know that this is what heaven stands for, and I hereby lay hold on it. Faith is set in motion by the illumination of the Holy One. Faith is set in motion by the illumination of the Holy One. What that simply means is that I must have an effective grasp of the will of God. I must have an effective grasp of the will of God. I must have a clear understanding of what the Word of God says and what heaven is saying. Praise God. So that's about that. Then again, when we talk about generally what faith is, how do we describe faith? First, I will say that faith has got to do with the seed of God embedded in us at the new birth. That is the beginning of the process of faith. Let's say that again. Faith is what? The seed of God embedded in us by the Holy Spirit at the new birth. That is why we weren't saved by works. How many of you got saved after 2 years of rigorous prayer and fasting? God now said, okay, you have paid enough price. Otherwise, Pharisees that will be getting saved. Praise God. It is not our salvation, it's not by our moral uprightness, not by the depth of our sacrifice. It is our faith. It's based on our belief in what Christ has accomplished on the cross. Isn't that so? So that's why the Bible says, what Christ has accomplished has made the grace. Grace is the resource of the Spirit by which the will of God is executed. Grace has been made available, isn't that so? The Holy Spirit, the moment you humble yourself and recognize that I need help, the Holy Spirit does a work in us by which sovereignly faith is generated in our hearts to bring down the grace that makes for our salvation. So that's why the first thing about faith is that it is the implant of heaven in our recreated spirit that is a function. It's triggered by the sovereignty of God. You did not pray. You did not study. God just sovereignly administers faith that enacts our salvation. Am I making sense? So let's buttress this by the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 3, the scripture says, I'm trying to look at the scripture. I'm looking at what clock. Okay, here is the Bible. The scripture says, Romans chapter 12 verse 3, the Bible says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to what? Think soberly, according as God has what? Dealt to every man a measure of faith. God has what? Dealt. A more modern translation would say, God has administered or given to every man, every child of God that is born again has a measure of faith. So there's nothing like, so a claim that I don't have faith is inaccurate. You have faith implanted in your spirit. Now, you may not have developed it, but you have faith as a seed of God. It is ingrained in the divine nature that actually make up our spirit, the nature of God that is in our spirit, the nature of God cultivated in our spirit by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So we have faith. The breath of God transferred the seed of faith in us. You remember the Lord Jesus said, if anyone will have faith, like what? A mustard seed. We all have the seed of faith in us. Let someone say, I have the seed of faith in me. We have the seed of faith in us. Another scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God will do us, will have what? Free curse and be glorified. That's a very powerful prayer. That we need to pray for our pastors and pray for men of God as God sends us out. That the word of God will have what? Will gain free curse. The word free curse means the word of God running swiftly. It's taken from the Greek word treko. The word treko means to run swiftly beyond the speed of light. The word treko means to penetrate. The word of God to penetrate, that is piercing through the veil of ignorance, the veil of doubt, the veil of traditions of men. Praise God. And that's a very powerful prayer that we need to pray. That the word of God will gain free course and also be glorified. When the word of God gains free course, it is bound to be glorified. Praise God. What that simply means that the word of God will unleash God's glory. I love the word be glorified. It's taken from the root word doxazo. The word doxazo means to unearth the glory. So that means the glory of God is in you. That's what I'm saying. The glory of God is in me. The only thing that the glory of God is in us in a dormant form. The glory of God is in our spirit in a dormant form. It is there. You know, Godhead is embedded in our spirit bodily. You know, that's what the word of God says. But it's dormant. It's dormant. God needs to activate it. And that's what the word of God does. Once the word of God gains penetration and there is secondary illumination, the glory of God is on earth. Heaven is unearthing the glory in by the face of Yahweh. And that's the plan of God. He wants the whole earth to be filled with his glory. Where do you think the glory is coming from? From heaven. No, it's not coming from heaven. It's coming from within you. That is how darkness will be conquered in the earth. Praise God. But that's not where we're going. The scripture then goes on to say that not only should you pray for us regarding this powerful ultimate counsel of heaven, verse 2, you need to also pray for us, and we need that prayer. Probably Paul was talking about social media age. You know, we have a lot of irresponsible and erroneous men of God, and I'm not going to deceive you. If you count 10 men of God, you would probably find 8, if not 9, miscreants. 8, if not 9, what do you call it? There's a word. There's a whole lot of nonsense going out there. You see, in those days, you see men of God like Guru Maharaj. That's not advanced falsehood. Any man of God that you see like that, you can place him side by side with a herbalist. That's not advanced. Praise God. In fact, when the scripture used the word error or false prophet, prophetius, that's the word prophet, the person that foretell and false tell. But the word false there is the word pseudo. And the word means duality. What you have on the outside is different from what exists on the inside. The word pseudo means counterfeit. If it is counterfeit, you see, 120 single note dollar is not a counterfeit. You know the reason? Can you tell me the reason? Because the original does not exist. For there to be counterfeit, there's got to be an original. So when you have $100 single note, counterfeit, it looks exactly like it. In fact, you can't tell the difference. You've got to be someone who deals with money a lot. And when you touch it, you know, this is compromised. That's the level of falsehood that the enemy is releasing in these last days. Praise God. So, Paul said, you need to pray. You know, but that, what I'm trying to say is that we're living in a time where ministers of the gospel are under siege. They're under a serious, intense onslaught of hell. Praise God. And you need to pray for us that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. It is not all men that have faith. Praise God. Every child of God has faith as a seed. But we need to develop that seed of God in us. Amen. So what when we talk about the description of faith, I will say that faith is the empowerment of heaven by which we are equipped to upturn activities of darkness in the earth. Faith is the empowerment of heaven by which we are equipped to upturn the activities of darkness in the earth. Again, I would say faith is a divine capability. Faith is what? The divine capability through which we are required to defy the odds of life. God has raised us for signs and wonders in the earth, isn't that so? But we need faith to drive that. Faith is required to defy the odds of life. God wants us to have true faith plugged into the dimension of God in the realm of the spirit, by which the natural law and natural order is constantly being tampered with. We constantly suspend the natural order. Praise God. Again, we say faith is the divine force with which the divine force with which the will of God is enforced in the earth. So if God's will is going to be enforced and the kingdom of God will be advanced, we need faith. We must plug into faith. Praise God. Faith again is the working of the Spirit. Faith is what? The working of the Spirit by which life in the Spirit could be fostered. We are expected to operate in the supernatural. As a matter of fact, we are expected. Primarily, we are spirit beings. Isn't that so? Primarily. Man is first spirit, soul, and body. Man is not the other way around. Body. We need our consciousness to be shifted from the natural to the unseen dimension. It is faith that does that. We're supposed to constantly foster life in the Spirit. We are supposed to be naturally supernatural. What did I say? We're supposed to be naturally supernatural. Praise God. We should be operating, you know, seamlessly between two worlds. And that's faith that bridges the gap. Faith, again, is a force of righteousness by which we can show forth godliness in the earth. Faith is what? The force of righteousness. We're living in a time where the church is under duress because of the outbreak of the spirit of the age is pervasive. You've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You must stand for the will of God. Stand for the counsel of God. Stand for the word of God, for the purposes of God, for the truth. It's a struggle. Praise God. And it is faith that makes it happen. Hallelujah. So faith is a force of righteousness by which we can constantly show forth godliness in the earth. You know, I just feel like let's give a whole lot of definition to bring clarity and light to a whole lot of stuff regarding faith. But there's somewhere I'm going. Faith is the driver of the Spirit by which we can access the realm of all possibility. The realm of God is the realm of all possibility. Praise God. And it is through faith we can operate in the realm and dimension of all possibility. You know, it's not possible for someone to operate in the dimension of all possibility if we do not constantly approach life from the divine perspective. What did I say? It's not possible for us, of an individual, to operate in the realm of all possibility if we do not what? Approach life from the perspective, from the divine perspective. Let's see Abraham as an example. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Blessing from verse 1, probably to 4. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, cheer not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You remember what just happened before this development, before this, you know, experience, before Abraham had his encounter with God? He had just gone to battle against Sodom and Gomorrah. He had just gone to battle on the behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. He fought against five kings, and Abraham defeated them. Great man, valiant man. But at the same time, the most important thing in his life was just there hanging. You know, if you're a minister of the gospel, you understand this. God is using you to do exploits all over the place. But the most critical personal thing to you is there unresolved. Amen. You know, I will say this, for about 12, 13 years of my marriage, we didn't have a time. Amen. Naturally, it wasn't easy. You have to dedicate children, bless children, minister to people. God move. God has been using me to pray for people seeking for the fruit of the womb before I got married. And God was constantly moving. You know, I was in a stage where this wasn't happening for me. I would say I was an exception because I didn't feel it. Praise God. God so protected me. I didn't even know. I was like, I describe myself as, you know, those guys, no, called NFA, you know what I mean by that? No future ambition. I was just going, doing the will of God and enjoying life. I enjoyed my marriage. Those are very exceptional things. And thank God, because that formed the foundation for today. Praise God. You can't believe it. I didn't feel it for 1 second. You can't believe it. I never did. I receive a lot of encouragement. I receive a lot of confusion. You know what I mean by that? Mixed up encouragement. People tell you that, man of God, God will do your own too. You know, it is such a shameful thing for God to be using you all over the place. I said, thank you very much. I appreciate God for the shame. Praise God. And all that. I would just shake it off and move on. I did not have the capacity to think. I was totally non-thoughtful. Even my wife. I guess God used my stance to uplift her a lot. I would say about 2 or 3 times, only very few times over those period of time, that I saw her discouraged. And I just said, I am hungry, though, so you can get up in this discovery. Let's eat food, something special. Let's celebrate. So what are we celebrating? Long-awaiting children. Praise God. They probably are picking up from heaven now. Someday they will arrive. Come on, let's go. You know, someday I made her know that, come on, we're in this together. Chill. And she said that was the greatest encouragement she's ever got in her life. Me, I was just joking. I just said, come on, y'all, let's get the moon straight. Amen. What more mountain is there to conquer? Praise God. And you know, that is possible. Because God did something in me. That's exactly, Abraham was going through that mood. How many of you understand mood swing? If you're a woman, you understand it more. Praise God. Some men are worse than women. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. This guy was a bond servant. And legally speaking, he has a right to the inheritance. He said, the prophetic word you have said, I will slot him in. And verse 3, Abraham said, behold, to me, thou art given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. Then verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. Verse 5. And the Bible says, read it up to 6. The Bible says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them, and it shall be unto thee, unto him. And he said unto him, rather, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6, most profound. And he believed in God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This sounds like New Testament. He pioneered the righteousness that is by faith. And that is the reason why we The born-again experience became a reality. This man, Abraham, under the old covenant, he set the standard. He triggered that. He initiated it. God took him out and he brought him out and said, count the stars of heaven. And he counted it. He says, so, the word of the Lord, a rhema word, it dabar came, so shall thy seed be. You know, I love the word dabar. That's a description for rhema or prophetic word of the Lord. It's a divine force and vehicle that is capable of bringing itself to pass. So shall thy seed be. The word seed there is taken from the Hebrew word zerah. And the word zerah means, it means two things. One is semen. You know, semen has got countless number of spermatozoa. That's what Abraham saw. Ooh, that's Isaac. It's going to open up new definition and identity of nationhood. That Isaac, that will be a type of Christ by which a new generation, holy nation, will be birthed in the earth. That was what Abraham saw. Praise God. The word Zerah also means seed. You know, seed has in itself harvest. Isn't that so? And Abraham just slotted, penetrated his spirit. And the Bible says it was counted to him as righteousness. I'm saying all this to let us know that it is not possible. We are the one chosen and called by God to access and operate in the dimension of all possibilities. But that's only possible when we approach life from the perspective, from the divine perspective. We must see through the eye view of heaven. Praise God. So let's move on a little more. So if faith is the seed of God, is a divine implant embedded in our spirit, then we must have the responsibility of nurturing it. Isn't that so? But the responsibility of developing, that is where the work lies. That's the labor. That is up to you. The implant of faith in our spirit is up to God. Isn't that so? To ensure the seed, the healthy seed of faith is made available. But the nurturing of it is up to you and I, not up to God. Now listen to this. We cannot set faith in motion. Only God does. The illumination of the Holy Spirit is what ignites faith. What ignites faith? Do we manufacture the illumination? It's only the Spirit of God. It's an act that generates it. But we are expected to create the enabling environment. That's the job we're called to do. We are to create the enabling environment. That is where the work and the labor of faith lies. The question is, how do we create the enabling environment? Let's look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. How do we create the enabling environment? Number one, through meditation in the word. Let's mention meditation in the word. You take the word of God and you think and ponder upon it. You're not glossing through the word. You are pondering on the word. Praise God. Let me read from verse 1. Let's take it from verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. Now, the counsel of ungodly is an environment. Praise God. If you create the wrong environment, the seed of faith will choke. If we create the right wrong environment, what will happen to the seed of faith? It will choke. Now, standeth in the way of sinners. There is the way of sinners. There's a counsel of ungodly. Counsel of ungodly is the wisdom of this age. Is a principle churches that have been run by the council of ungodly. I will shock you. A lot of the mega ministries and churches, a couple of folks I know, some of them I know directly, some of them I know people who work under there. You don't believe it. They deliberately dig for the counsel of ungodly. What defines the authenticity of a ministry is not signs and wonders that the Lord Jesus did by himself. He did not say by their power you will know them. It's by their fruits. Another person was telling me how the man of God uses divide and rule. All sort of counsel of ungodly philosophies of Babylon. If you are called into ministry, you should not be congratulated yet. Yeah, we need to wait for 10 years, 15 years. You should be congratulating. Ministry is like a pitfall. It's like a trap. It's like a snare. You have to be careful not to sink deep into that shoe. I'm not saying to scare us. If you have the call of God upon your life, just make sure you stand and stay under the right influence. Praise God. The counsel of ungodly, the way of sinner, the conduct. Amen. The lifestyle. What's the other one? The speech of scornful. That is so pervasive in ministries. But let me take it outside the beach. First of all, it's so pervasive in ministry. I was with a man of God many years ago. More senior minister. I'm talking about 97. I went there to minister as a guest speaker. I brought him to minister as a prophet and brought the word of the Lord. Now, at that time, I was close to another man of God who is more or less like a mentor and a friend. Loves me, encourages me a lot. And this other man of God was running in down. He was my guest. He was giving me big platforms. He's got big platform in that city. But you know, as he would run him down, I was doing it unconsciously. And I was just saying, he's not like that. Maybe you need to pray for him. He will run him down again and say, he's actually not like that. Maybe something went wrong. So one day he was ministering on the platform. He said the Holy Spirit convicted him. Because the more he ran that man of God down, the more God was using me to upturn it. I hope I'm still like that. After many years, to a little tiny degree, I believe I'm still like that. Amen. If you stay much a lot with men of God, you'll be shocked. The level of gossip. You'll be shocked. I'm not trying to run down our men of God. Thank God we have a great man of God and wonderful pastors here. You see, these are days when you see people who are truthful and authentic, don't joke with them. There are not many of them. But let's take it to families, husband and wives. How many of us sit down to run down our neighbors and friends and colleagues? You have to make up your mind. I made up my mind in my house. You don't come to stay in my house and bring in a contrary spirit. If you start running someone down, they're not spending the night. They're not staying here. Praise God. We don't have room for you. No place for the seat of scornful. You know, we don't backslide overnight. Praise God. When you stop walking, you start with walking. You know, the guy started walking and now he's standing. Now he's seated. So comfortable. You are settled down with negativity. Praise God. So let's quickly move on. Verse 2 and 3. But it's delight. Let somebody say delight. The word delight is taken from the Hebrew word satet. It means to find pleasure. We must learn to find pleasure in the word. We dig into the word. It also means to develop discipline. To cultivate discipline. We don't start with finding pleasure. We start with cultivating the discipline. You don't feel like it. Your flesh is screaming. You say, stay focused. Stay in the word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord, he does what? Meditate. Day only. Is that what the word says? Day and night. You may not have so much finesse. have the word in your inner man. The word constantly garnishing and furnishing your inner man. Reinforcing your inner man. If you have that, you are meek. It's a matter of time. Praise God. The word meditate is the word, second one, the word aga. The word aga means to ponder. You're not rushing. You stay. You ponder on it, on the word. You mutter the word. You know, when you're thinking deep, you mutter. Unconsciously, you start muttering the word. You mourn the word. You groan the word. You groan the word. Praise God. Meditation is an in-depth process. You know, some years ago, I think it was 2015, my wife and I traveled to South Africa. You know, God did a massive miracle with us in 2019. It was a big, big breakthrough. She was asked not to do a particular surgery, but she should just keep enduring excruciating pain for the rest of her life. So by 2019, because the surgery was extremely delicate, as a matter of fact, it was said that there are huge chances that it could claim life. So that's why we left it. But by 2019, God gave us a word, and we should go for it. Very expensive surgery. God both provided, also created an access that we didn't pay as much. You know, those kind of surgery that cost $100,000. But we didn't pay anything near that. And God provided the place, you know, did everything, worked it out. It's the kind of surgery, they don't put you on anesthesia. They put you on the induced coma. Because it's going to take extremely, it took 11 hours. And she went through it and came back alive. And you know, if the surgery were successful, actually, I didn't know. They were using a terminology. So neither of us, she was quite good. She's done a lot of work in research. We didn't know that the terminology means they will induce coma. I would never have accepted. If the surgery were successful and the person no come out, praise God. But God hid it from me. God gave us a turnaround. So by 2015, we were in Cape Town, you know, to meet some top medical experts, and they took out through all the necessary, you know, examination. Mine was just a routine test. My own that was a routine. They now found something very serious. Very alarming. They did it, they repeated, they did all the tests. In fact, they had to check my organs to make sure that my liver was not affected. My liver was sound. So, but now there is a problem, a big problem. And when they were telling me, I'm talking about the second best doctor in that field in the whole world, was a WHO consultant. When he was telling me, I felt, it's not possible. He laughed. He gave me detail that this is not matter. This is not assumption. Okay, and I'll ask for a favor. Can I take 1 month off? I will stay here. It was already towards the tail end of 3 weeks of trip, so I can't stay here. Can you recommend a laboratory in Nigeria? So he recommended a foreign laboratory in Victoria Island, Lagos. And after 1 month, you know what I was doing for 1 month? I got healing scriptures. Every night, I meditate. I would pluck it in and speak it. And speak it. And think deep upon the word until divine healing became my second name. Praise God. I came out. I believe everything is sorted. Let's go there. So we went there and they did the examination. All of them were shocked. It was sent directly. The result was sent directly to Cape Town. And the doctor saw it. He was confused. Something happened. Yes, I told you, something happened. God happened. Praise God. Meditate on the word. Meditate. That's how to also create the environment. Leave the Holy Spirit to his own work. He is the one to ignite illumination. But you create the environment for him to do so. Praise God. Another thing we're expected to do is to speak the word. Let someone say, I will speak the word. We confess and confess it. 2 Corinthians 4:13. The Bible says, we have in this same spirit of faith. We do what? We believe. And therefore, we speak. Now that's a situation in which we are speaking out of conviction and persuasion. Those words will carry the energy of the Spirit. Praise God. Now again, you know, faith is like, I don't know how to call it in science, reversal paradox. Thank you. Thank you very much. You are very intelligent. Praise God. Before I said it, you already knew the... Thank you very much. Reversal paradox. So, now, you speak out of conviction and those words carry the energy of the Spirit. Now, we need to learn to speak what God has already captured and revealed, what heaven has spoken. We need to speak it in order for the conviction also to be created. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because you remember what the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 7? When he said the Pharisees, they were intimidating Jesus' disciples and said, you guys, they accused them. They were eating without washing their hands up to the elbow. The Pharisees will not eat until they wash their hands to the elbow. And they got everybody in church to do the same. And the Lord Jesus said something. You guys are horrible. You are taking the traditions of men as the commandment of God. You know, that isn't that happening in the body of Christ today? We're taking the wisdom of this age as the word of God. And I like the comments Mark made. He said, these Pharisees, they were extremely hypocritical. He made a sudden comment about them. And then the Lord Jesus said something, that it is not what goes through a mouth, the mouth that defines the man, because the real man is not the body. The real man is internal. What defiles the man is what comes out. So when you say, you are defiling your soul. They say that things are not working in Nigeria. This country, things are not working. Somebody, if you have a friend that's always telling you things are not working, now that's not to say that it's not a fact. There's a difference between fact and truth. They can say things are not working. But for me, praise God, in my space, in my territory, things will ever work. Because I operate under a different climate, a different heaven, different atmosphere. Don't let people come and tell you, it's always like that. It doesn't happen. People will always get disappointed. No, I will not get disappointed because you understand the power of words. The Bible says you are justified by your words and you are held captive with your own mouth, what comes out of your mouth. So we're supposed to consciously speak the word in the name of Jesus. I am meek. I am teachable. In the name of Jesus, I am humble and I am tender-hearted. I am not given to fear and panic. In the name of Jesus, every tendency of doubt, every tendency of bitterness, every low self-damaged self-esteem, I get it in it in the name of Jesus. I, as the righteousness of God, I'm as bold as a lion. What you're doing is that you're shaping your own convictions. You see, it is the state of your conviction that determines the temperature of your climate. You understand that? It is the state of your inner conviction that determines what? The temperature of your climate. If the conviction is warped, you know what's going to happen? Demonic powers will be gaining upper hand in the heavens, in your heavens. But if your conviction in the will of God is rock solid, there will be sporadic angelic activities. So we control the heavens by shaping our conviction. That's how faith works. Praise God. That is how what? Faith works. I've got 3 minutes. And I need to touch something before I wrap it up. Amen. Pastor, thank you very much, sir. Amen. We all know that the intervention of heavens, the intervention of heavens is orchestrated by faith. Isn't that so? The law of faith is what orchestrates the intervention of heaven. But definitely, just as we have established, how does faith work? Faith works from inside out. What did we say? It begins from with our perception, our conviction. And the conviction of faith is created by the secondary illumination. Praise God. But we know we have the responsibility of what? We have the responsibility of conditioning the climate so that the Holy Spirit can ignite faith in our hearts. And that is how faith orchestrates the intervention of heaven. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 62, verse 11, Psalm 63, 11, once God has spoken, but what must happen to me? Twice I must hear. My ability to hear, not just with the natural ear, but what? With the ear of my inner man. That is what causes faith to come alive. Romans 10, 17, put it this way. It said, faith cometh by what? Hearing. By what? Hearing. By the word. So there must be the secondary hearing for faith to what? Come. Let someone say, faith has got to come. The word come there is taken from the Greek word ek. That's ek. Simple. Ek. That's what come. It means triggered. For faith to be triggered. Praise God. Faith to be released. We need secondary hearing. Secondary illumination. But you know, we are responsible to create the environment for the Holy Spirit to ignite the secondary illumination. Praise God. This is where I want to end it. I want to end it with something I believe most of us are familiar with. Amen. You know, I sense in my spirit God. One of the things, Evelyn, let me first do this before we come back to that. I perceive in my spirit, the Lord has released angels of his visitations. As a result of this conference, there's a summoning in the heavens. And angelic forces have been set loose. And they will begin to minister to you. When they come to you, they'll be opening the eyes of your understanding. That's one of the things they're coming to do. They will give you sight. Sight. Let someone say sight. Where there's been doubt, there's going to come conviction. The Lord is raising men and women with audacity in the spirit. You are going out there to confront the giants. And you will defeat them. Praise God. The Lord has released angels of visitation. They have come to us. They are descending. I can see them. of divine purposes. They are coming with clarity of divine purposes. Understanding of the will of God. I see men and women here. I see a lot of young people whose head has been bowed. But the Lord is waking you up. He's saying you will no longer look down. You will look up. You're not going to look down and see what the activities of darkness. You will look up and see what heaven is up to. The Lord is doing a new thing. For I and the children that thou hast given me are for signs and wonders. The Lord is raising instruments. Instruments of wonders in this house. And you are going forth to do exploits. You are going forth to open doors that have not been accessed in many, many years, says the Spirit of God. Mantles are falling. Prophetic mantles are falling. One of the mantles I see that is coming upon his people is a mantle to break new ground. You are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground of artistry. Breaking new ground of worship. Breaking new ground in academics. Breaking new ground in science. The Lord is releasing mantle to break new ground as entrepreneurs. Breaking new ground. You are doing, heaven is doing a new thing. In and through you. The day, a new dawn has come. A new dawn has come. A new dawn has come. You know, a couple of you, the Lord is saying, Joshua the high priest, he is stripping you. I don't know, I just sense in my spirit. We're going to have a prophetic action. Come forward. What's your name, my brother? Felix, come forward. Can I have a chair given to you? You know, the Lord has come to strip you off. And you are representing his people. He's come to strip you off. Strip off you. Filthy garments. Filthy garments. Your garments have been defiled. You know, there are spots. Spots. As a result of the accusations of the accusers of the brethren. As a result of castigation. And false assessment of yourself. The Lord is stripping you. Stripping off you. The filthy garment. And he has sent the angels of heaven. Ministering spirit. And they are putting upon you purple linen. And robbing you. Robbing you with authority. Robbing you with his righteousness. And the Lord has sent his angelic forces. They are stewards of heaven. And they are putting upon you the turban. And putting crown upon you. Crown upon you. Endorsements of heaven. Divine approval. For heaven is with you. If God be for you, who can be against you? You are going to sit upon the throne. You can have your seat. Just sit down. Just sit down. The sitting upon the throne. Just sit, majesty. Just rest. The sitting upon the throne. You're coming into a phase of governing. You're coming into a phase of authority and influence. You're coming into a new season. A new season, a new season. You will govern nation. You will rule. You will establish. You will conquer. The enemies are being brought to your footstool. You will crush the head of serpents. You will crush the end, the head of the very God of peace. But crush, bruise the head of serpent underneath your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I bless you. Oh, glory be to God. Father, we worship you. Lord, we adore you. Our minister in you, Lua, come forward. You know, while you were ministering, one of the things I saw in the spirit about you, I could just see that purity. I could just see that your spirit is pure. I could see that love for God. You were ministering out of intimacy. You were not just ministering out of gift. It's not coming. That flow wasn't coming out of your giftedness. The gift is there. The gift is intact. The gift is intent. But the ministry was coming out of intimacy. Out of that. You know, God is raising men and women like Agai that will be ministers messengers in the Lord's message. The people that will place the private ministry ahead of the public ministry. And that heart for God, that humility was very tangible and infectious. And thus says the Spirit of God, heaven is sending you to the nations. What it should be is nations, dolls of nations. Nations from across the continent, from Africa, Ghana in South Africa, nations in Europe and United Kingdom, United States of America, cities in the United States of America. You are going forth as catalyst of revival and the outbreak of the Spirit in the nations. Heaven is sending you to Far East and sending you to Middle East, and you are going to nations to prepare the bride of the Lord. You are preparing the bride of the Lord. You are preparing the church to take a rightful place by besides the Lord, to come into union with a lover. The mighty hand of the Lord is upon you. The Lord is raising men and women like you that will be diplomats of the kingdom. You're not going out there to represent yourself. You're going out there to represent the King of Glory. Father, thank you. The Lord is going to cater for you. It will make room for you. It will provide. It will take care of the family end. It will strengthen you. And you know, Pastor was talking about your husband. Can he just come forward? Where is he? Is he anywhere around? Oh. You know, as I was ministering, I just sense you're a man of authority. A man of authority. You're the stabilizing factor. And you're not just going to operate as a minister of God. I see the apostolic edge. The Lord is granting you access to the blueprint. You're bringing specifications to the church, to the body of Christ. I hear the word, the lost ark is going to be found. But the Lord is raising men like you that will give the blueprint, and you will awaken the church. And the gift of God in your wife as a keen spirit, you are defeating the dragon and defeating the prince of the power of the air. And you are raising the standard, providing protective edge and providing guide and providing covering for the body of Christ. God will use you mightily to set this generation on fire. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you. Let's just try to wrap this up somewhere. Now, in the application of faith, we always come by two spiritual perception. And I'm sure many of us are aware. You remember faith towards God and faith of the Son of God. So what we have taught today, which one is it? For people, those of you that like to departmentalize biblical truth, praise God, you don't get confused now. Amen. Now, in terms of, you see, some of us have limited ourselves because, you see, one thing we don't do with spiritual things, you don't treat the things of the spirit like buffet. A lot of us are vegetarians in the spirit. You know what I mean by that? We are deficient of balanced diet. So it has to be faith towards God. That's what I have chosen. Praise God. I mean, rather, it has to be faith of the Son of God. You see, every dimension of faith will be faith of the Son of God. The important thing is to understand faith as designed by heaven. Now, faith of the Son of God is very authentic. But what I mean by that, we need to open up our hearts to the vastness of the truth. Praise God. You see, when it comes to the word of God, don't choose sides. So you know what I mean by that. There's only one side we should choose. Whose side is it? The Lord's side. And that's what the truth is. The truth must cancel off. So we don't say, because you see, I meet a lot of young people. They don't know clue, nothing about faith. The only thing they peddle is that every other person in the church has missed it because they are operating faith towards God. So I am operating faith of the Son of God. And yet, you don't even understand how to appropriate justification by faith. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You don't, you see, when you understand the God kind of faith, you will know the relevance of faith at all ramifications. Let me give you an example. Do you know an average person in the body of Christ, when we talk about faith, the only thing they could think of is cars. The only thing they could think of is healing and material things. You are bereft of knowledge and of wisdom. Once we reduce faith to the mundane, how do you please God without faith? When you go read Hebrews chapter 11 and how men and women please God with faith, how they conquered kingdom with faith. What about those who by faith refuse their own deliverance? So you know that completely messes up our religious mindset. Praise God. So I believe in the application of faith. There is faith towards God. I don't need to get what I'm saying. Let's use an example in the Bible. That we'll wrap up with these two scriptures. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. I just needed to touch this. Matthew 7, 7. The Bible says, ask and it shall be what? Given you. Seek and you shall what? Find. Knock and it shall what? Be open to you. Then the scripture goes on to say, for everyone that what asketh does what? Receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, what happened? It shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? So what the word of God just teaches us here is that faith hinges on the fatherhood of God. Isn't that true? Faith what? Faith hinges on God's fatherhood. If I understand the love of the Father, I will automatically know how to appropriate faith. I know my Father can't deny me. I'm so relaxed. Praise God. It's just like a little child. You're so sure. You know, my daughter one day, that's like some almost 2 years ago, my children are just about to be 6 this month. So she was 4, and she just told me that she needed ice cream the previous evening. So I said, okay, I'm not passing the night out of the program. On my way back home, I'll buy you ice cream. So when I got back, so the folks that came to the car, to the parking lot to welcome me, said, we hope you have got ice cream with you. I said, why? Well, your daughter has been telling everybody, my dad is coming back with very delicious ice cream for me. Totally forgot. To drive back and get the ice cream because there was the affirmative way with which they just told her, she just said, my dad is coming with delicious ice cream. Praise God. Hey, you dare not fail that one. When you know the love of the Father, you will have it all. Praise God. You will what? You know the Father can't deny you. Many of us, our perception of the Father is so warped that when we are asking God, you know, sometimes the way we have coped with our earthly father and the most trusted people in our lives and so much disappointment, there is carryover. So as you are praying, your heart is out. God, I know you will could not do it. But you're saying, Jesus name, you're praying, God. Ga. I say, in a lie. Tobaje, sister, but am I sick? But Tobaje, no way. So those are the things God begins to help us when we understand the fatherhood of God. Praise God. You know, God's word cannot be broken because his word are bound by his covenant. The covenant of God is sealed by his integrity. Praise God. So when we talk about faith towards God, it's simply understanding the fatherhood of God. God wants you to have the good things of life. Don't go about with this mentality that, oh, going through process means that you will never have anything good in life. No, he wants the best for you. He's your father. Now, in closing, this is the other application. We use James chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. James 4, verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Now, this is among the brethren. There is fightings. Now, when we talk about war, this is serious. What seems to be what takes place between one territory or one nation, one state or kingdom and the other, against the other? And Paul and James said something very profound. Not hence, even of your lust that war within your member. What you're saying in essence, you read more modern translation. What you're saying is that the reason why there's conflict and disagreement and hostility between you and another brother or sister is because there is war within your own individual members. There's conflict within you. The voice of lust, inordinate ambition, is so loud. Praise God. So when we talk about faith, let's read it up. Ye lost and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. That is, you're so desperate. You will do everything. And yet you cannot obtain. You fight and war, and yet you have not. You have claimed another brother's car. Some people will claim other brother's car, claim other brother's. If there is not, they will claim other brother's wife. Praise God. The reason why you are not having is because you are asking amiss. What does it mean to ask amiss? When you ask to consume it upon your lust. So verse 4 goes on to say, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What God is simply saying is that if you take faith to another level, a higher level, you see, the fatherhood of God doesn't require anything of you. All it takes is to just understand the love of the Father. But when you take faith to yet another level, it's going to require some things. Praise God. It's called process. When you begin to ask God, heaven is interested in your intent and motive. Heaven is interested. So when faith begins to confront our motive and begin to confront our thought patterns and begin to confront our motivation, our attitude, faith dealing with our attitude, that's the whole essence of faith of the Son of God. That is to say that heaven is refining my attitude. every compromised desire, heaven is refining. That's the essence of faith of the Son. The essence of faith of the Son is to knock out the world in me. If I'm going to be a friend of God, well, what's going to happen to the friendship of the world? The friendship with the world must be knocked out. So that's why he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nonetheless, I live. But that I is different. The I that starts living when God begins to confront the flesh, it's not I. It is Christ that lives in me. And that is what the whole thing about the faith of the Son in us. The whole thing about the faith of the Son is employing the faith and the power of the word, the power of the gospel, to deal with the flesh, with our motive, with our intent, so that the purity of the life of God can find expression. Let's rise up on our feet. I want us to give thanks for the word. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you. We give you the glory and praise. Give you the worship and adoration. Glory be to you, God. Lord, thank you because you have brought understanding and clarity, illumination and wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray for all your children, your church, and I pray that which you have spoken to them, they will begin to experience the power of faith. They will begin to experience the energy of the Spirit. They will begin to experience more than ever before the move of the Spirit and the force of righteousness will take over them in the name of Jesus. You know, I see the Lord speaking to someone here. You're passing through fire. You're passing through baptism of fire. A lot of persecution for righteousness' sake. But the Lord is saying, I am with you. I am the fourth man in that fire. And you will survive it. You will overcome. The righteous intent of God will be accomplished. And you will have victory. You're walking through that fire untouched, unarmed, because the mighty righteous hand of the Lord is upon you. Says the Spirit of God. I sense the Lord is dealing with illnesses. I rebuke every migraine headache. There's a brother at the back. You have this banging headache. But today, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Everybody that is having migraine headache today, receive the power of God and be free in the name of Jesus. I see someone is like, every month now, at certain period of the month, your health becomes struck. Today, the Son of Righteousness has come with healing in his wings. You are free in the name of Jesus. I see a sister, you know, it's like the bleeding never ends. I command that to come to an end now. I command the flow to cease and be regulated in the name of Jesus. Every ache in your body, every pain, I cast them out. Every sickness, low blood pressure, high blood pressure, diabetes, I rebuke you. You are free by the stripes of Jesus. You are healed. In the name of Jesus.
believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many free field meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.